Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, is a very familiar passage to most of us who have studied the second coming of our Lord. I'm glad that I believe in the second coming, and I believe it's imminent. I believe He could come just any moment now. And I think it behooves us to be prepared every moment. Someone says, well, what about the times when you get mad? Well, better get ready, for He might come while you're getting mad. But He's coming. He's coming, no telling when. We just don't know when. That's a little saying that I put in my study several years ago. Do nothing that you'd not like to be doing when Jesus comes. Go to no place where you'd not like to be found when Jesus comes. Say nothing that you'd not like to be saying when Jesus comes. It's a good thing to latch on to and just claim. I think if we'll provide ourselves with those three things and to be very careful about those things, I believe we'll be ready when He comes. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort. For those of us who love the Lord, we are comforted by the words of our coming, that the Lord's coming. And I don't believe that if a person is saved and he knows the Lord Jesus in an intimate way, that he would not enjoy hearing about the second coming. And I trust the Lord will help us to bring some thoughts here in this passage. All of us love to hear about the second coming and preaching on the second coming. I do. I enjoy hearing somebody talk about it. But I want to talk to you a little bit about three things that are found in this passage. First of all, the scripture teaches us that Paul made some statements like this. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. He also made statements to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We ask ourselves when we read this passage of Scripture, how is it that the Lord is coming back with 10,000 of His saints, or with His saints, and those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him? There's an opinion that that souls are asleep. And there's a lot of folks that believe in soul sleep. They believe that when a person dies, he just goes to sleep. Well, the Scripture teaches us that he goes to sleep, but if he's asleep in Jesus, his spirit is with the Lord. The Bible teaches us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I believe the moment the person dies, especially saved, he goes immediately into the presence of the Lord. So they said, well, what about the bodies? Well, I believe that when he comes the second time, the Scripture tells us that he will bring those saints with him. Those are coming with him, and I think they'll come and claim their bodies, wherever that body might have been. If it's scattered to the wind, the Bible teaches us that they'll have a new body, and I'm persuaded that they'll claim that body and then meet with the Lord in the air. And the Scripture tells us that those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a reunion of those of, who have died and gone on to be with the Lord. They'll come back and get their bodies, and it'll be changed like unto His, just like us, every one of us. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look over there and see a passage of Scripture. The Bible tells us in verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now notice what happens. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. A person who dies outside of Christ goes directly into a place called hell. And that's a bottomless pit. They won't go to that place which is the flaming fire, the lake of fire, but they'll go to a pit which is, according to Scripture, a dark pit, a bottomless pit. And I believe it's to be like falling constantly in a bottomless pit. Wouldn't you hate to be in that kind of situation? But the Scripture says that a person that's saved, may the body go back to the dust of the earth, it's called corruptible. And that corruptible body must put on incorruption. And incorruption, of course, would be that new body. The mortal body, which is mine and yours as we're alive, will be changed to an immortal body. Will be changed to that new body in an instant, the Scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye. And so some things are going to take place in the twinkling of an eye that's given to us in this particular passage, and I want to talk to you about tonight. In chapter 4, and the Scripture teaches us that those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. In the twinkling of an eye, some things are going to take place. First of all, we're going to have a body change just like that. But there's some things that take place in the course of his coming that we want to look at in verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. First of all, Jesus himself is coming. He's not going to send an angel for us. There's a lot of folks that believe when a person dies, he is carried to the angels into the presence of the Lord. I would not disagree with that. I'm persuaded that that's revealed to us in the death of Lazarus. The Scripture said that Lazarus was carried into the Abraham's bosom. Now, that was under the Old Testament because he carried him into Abraham's bosom, which was a place that was called paradise. But I believe when Jesus died and rose again, he carried paradise with him and carried all of those that had died in Christ Jesus, carried them with him. And there will be a lot of passages of Scripture that I could go into to point that out. But let's just assume that all the saints of God are with the Lord at this very time, that are dead and have already gone to meet with the Lord. They're in his presence. They're now with the Lord. And the Scripture says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself is coming. I'm glad to know that one of these days I will be able to see him. Amen? I'll be able to see him. If he's to come right now, we'd be able to see him in the immortal body that we have in this very instant when he changes our body to looking likened unto his. So it's a something that you and I can look forward to in the coming of our blessed Lord. Now, the Lord himself said in John chapter 14, he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming himself, and we're going to be able to be raptured and meet him in the air himself. I'm glad of that. Amen. Now let's look at three things. First of all, he said that he shall descend from heaven with a shout. I believe that shout's going to be coming from him himself. I believe that shout is going to come from him because the word, literally, is a word that is a military word that means march, forward march. And I believe what he's saying to those in the heavens is going to be able to say, forward march, we're going after our bodies. I believe there's a time when they're going to just gather together. I'm persuaded it's not too far from now. Amen. Now, I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. I'm talking about those saints that have gone on to meet with the Lord will come with him. And they're gathering together, I believe, maybe not this second. It could be this second. He could come back in the next moment. But the thing I believe he's doing is gathering them all together and saying to them in that hour when he comes, forward march, because they're going to come out of that place, because they're coming after their bodies. I don't know about you, but I believe that I would be glad to come after a body. If I was in a spirit and just floating around in the spirit, somebody said, well, we could be that way. I don't know what it's like, and I'd be a fool to try to tell you what it's like and mean it from the depths of the heart. But I believe that it's going to be in a spirit. We're in a spirit today, and I believe when we come back, they're coming after their body. That body is going to be a glorified body, and they're going to claim it, and they're going to take it back with them to heaven. And all of us are going to be in a glorified body. We're going to be likened unto His body, His glorious body. Now, I believe that when it comes that time to come, and He says that the Lord Himself shall be sent with a shout, that shout's coming from Him, forward march. And I believe they're coming after their bodies, and that very instant will be when we are changed, and that mortal shall be turned into an immortal body, and we're going to meet together with Him in the air. I'm talking about something that ought to thrill our hearts. I'm talking about something that ought to be something to just give us that encouragement and strength to know that it's not going to be ended with this death. It's not going to be ended with death. It's going to be ended with His coming, and we're going to rejoice forever and forever with Him in that glorious place. Now, the Scripture tells us that Jesus said that Himself, and Acts chapter number 1 tells us that He is coming in the clouds, and so I'm persuaded that He's coming in the clouds. I'm persuaded, according to what the Scripture says, that I can look for Him to come in the clouds. They've got a song out that I disagree with. There's some of the, you might see Him in the next cloud in glory. I got news for you. You won't be looking for the next cloud. He's coming in the clouds, and He's coming after all of us, and we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I believe it's going to be a rejoicing time. Amen? We'll shout on our way out. They said, are you sure? Well, good gracious alive. Everybody ought to accept the fact that we're going to shout when we leave this place. I'm persuaded we can shout a little bit while we're here. We're going to really shout when we get home. Amen? But the Bible tells us that He will come, and that first voice that they'll hear, that we'll hear, is that shout, forward, march, and the children of God is coming after that body, and we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I believe He's going to rejoice in that. He has finished His priesthood. He's got a job He's doing right now. He is a priest, and He is the ever-living priest, and He is interceding for all of us, and for those that are lost without God, He's interceding for them, and He is going to be finished with that work. I'm persuaded that He's going to be glad that He's finished with that work. I believe He's anticipating meeting with all of us. I believe He's anticipating getting His bride together, don't you? Now, the Scripture tells us also that He is gathering a bride. Let me read you a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 15 and verse 14. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to look and mark that passage. The Scripture tells us that Simeon said these words in chapter 15. Simeon hath declared, James is telling this, Simeon hath declared, verse number 14, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this degree, the words of the prophets that is written, after this I'll return and rebuild again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I'll build again the ruins thereof. But in the meantime, He's calling out a people out of the Gentile family for His own name. And I'm persuaded that Gentiles is us, each of us, the birth and infirmity of God, is going to be gathered together with Him. And so He's rejoicing with the fact that the job of priesthood is over, and He's gathering His bride to meet with Him. I believe there's a rejoicing time in His heart when He's gathering that bride to be with Him. The Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that the reason why that He died was for the joy that was set before Him in the fact, the anticipation of the bride. And that's us, you and me, and we're going to be a part of that bride. And I believe it's rejoicing because, or shouting because He is rejoicing over the fact that He has that bride to be. Thirdly, I believe He's going to rejoice over the fact that the builder is completed. You remember the Bible tells us in Peter's writing, 1 Peter 2:5, He is also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. He has completed a building. and that building is going to be completed. Well, the scripture says that building was the building he said in John chapter 14, he's gone to prepare us a place. I don't know what that building. Somebody said that that building was rooms. He was going to build us some rooms. I got news for you. I don't think I'm going to be happy with a room, are you? I'm going to be happy with a mansion. I've heard a lot of talk about mansions. I've heard a lot talk about the city four square and 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high. There's going to be a whole lot of apartments in there, if that's what it's going to be. But I don't believe we're going to be happy with an apartment, do you? I don't like an apartment. I'd rather have a place where I can settle in like we have up here and like we have in Calhoun. I've got two places. Amen. But the thing that I want to enjoy is the place that he has for me, and I believe it's going to be a time of rejoicing when he comes to gather us. That building is completed. But then I want you to notice something else. He's rejoicing because a new role has been given him, the bridegroom, of course, but that new role is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe we're going to have, first of all, for the 7 years, if they're going to have tribulation down here, I believe we're going to have a marriage supper. Amen. Somebody said, how do you know this goes out? I don't know for sure, but I can shout over it a little bit. Amen. I can rejoice over the fact that we're going to have a marriage supper. And that marriage supper, the scripture tells us that he's going to serve us. I don't know about you, but I just really look forward to that. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the fact that we will have that marriage supper of the Lamb. But he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years down here. So we got a lot to look forward to, a lot to anticipate. And Jesus has anticipated a lot of things in coming after his bride. But then let me show you something else. It's not only a shout, and not only is there a shout, but there's a voice of an archangel. Now, there's two archangels that are placed before us in the Scriptures, and one is Gabriel and one is Michael. In Daniel chapter number 12, the Scripture tells us that he, Daniel, or Michael, at that time shall Michael stand up the great prince which standeth for the people of his people, which are the Jews. So Michael is a Jewish archangel. That means Gabriel is the one that's ready to sound that trumpet, and I believe it's Gabriel that's going to be able to take us and get us out of this place. Now, the Bible tells us the voice of the archangel. Now, that voice of the archangel, I believe, has a job to do. What kind of job did you think he had to do? I believe he is in charge of all of the upper world, that is the demon world, the angelic world, and I believe he's going to just move all the angels and all the demons out of the way so that he can come and gather his own. And I believe that voice of the archangel will be that which will cause the demonic forces to move out of the way. Somebody says the devil is in charge over this world. Well, he has charge for a little while, but he knows he doesn't have just a short time, and he is giving all he possibly can to give us trouble. I was reading something the other day about a movie that's coming out, and that movie is belittling the Christian church as much as any movie that's ever been put out. I forget the name of it. Anybody remember the name of it? I forget exactly, but it's not come out yet, but it's on its way out. They say it's going to be the worst movie to belittle Christianity that ever has come out. It's amazing how that we have one particular movie come out just a few months ago that brought 300 and something million dollars, or billion dollars, I forget exactly how many millions of dollars, almost a half a billion dollars in revenue, and they come along and want to do something the opposite. I hope it flops before it gets out. Amen. I hope it gets to the very bottom before anybody sees the first movie. But according to the way the devil is doing, it'll have its day. We realize that. Because Satan is going to have his day. And Satan knows he has but a short time because God is coming real soon. And this Gabriel is going to move that bunch out of the way and say, move out, and he's going to come after us. And we're going to rejoice with him in that wonderful place. Now the shout starts the process. Amen. And the voice of the archangel will move the demonic forces out of the way. And then, listen, all of this takes place in the twinkling of an eye. All of this takes place. Somebody said, how do you know? Well, time don't mean nothing to God. Amen? He's living in the present. We're in the present today, but we can't know a whole lot about the future. We don't remember a whole lot about the past. Some of us don't. But there's one thing about it. He knows all about the past, the present, and the future, and he's living in the present today. And it doesn't make any difference about time. He knows what's going to take place before it takes place, and we're looking forward to that voice of the archangel sounding and moving that demonic world out of the way. But the last thing that happens is the trumpet shall sound. Now, most of us have heard, I'm listening for the trumpet. Well, first of all, I want to hear the shout. Amen? And I want to hear that shout because I know that they're coming after me. And then I want to hear that archangel when he moves all the demons out of the way so I won't have to wrestle with the devil trying to get out of here. So I said, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is in control of he is the prince of the air. He's in control. If you and I could see what's going on spiritually, it'd scare you literally to death. You'd be frightened to even move around because of the demons of hell that are around us and that are doing everything they can to destroy everything that the church represents. He's in here. The demons are right in here. Amen? The demons try their best to keep the preacher from preaching the message. Amen? He tries his best to keep your attention on something else so you won't enjoy the message. He does everything he possibly can to keep you from enjoying a blessing from the Lord. That's his business. But it's the business of the Lord and the Holy Spirit to move upon your heart, to help you to understand what's going on, to help you to see and to realize that Jesus is coming soon and the reality is here upon us and we're listening for the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God shall sound and then we're going to be raised and we're going to rejoice with the Lord forever and forever. Well, somebody said, preacher, do you really believe that? Well, the Bible tells us that there were men back years ago in Peter's day that didn't believe it. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, or 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Scripture says, and if you want to look at it, he said, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, let's look at it. I've been trying to quote it by memory, and I just ain't got much memory anymore. Chapter number 3 in 2 Peter and verse number 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's what the liberals are saying today. The fundamentalists are those of us who believe that Jesus is coming. The fundamental, I don't care what they say about us, I'm going to remain a fundamentalist. Well, somebody said, what is a fundamentalist? Well, fundamentals are that which keeps this world going. The fundamentals of music would not be able to enjoy the music if it weren't for the fundamentals of music. The fundamentals of science, we wouldn't know what to do with things at all if the scientists did not know the fundamentals is of certain products that we have, like water. Water is the fundamental of water is two parts, but if they put anything else in it, it's ruined. So there's a fundamentalist of everything. We've got to believe that. And I'm a fundamentalist from head to toe, and I'm going to remain that until I die. And I believe all of us ought to be proud to be called a fundamentalist. Now, they call us a fundamentalist. They say we don't agree with a lot of things. No, we don't agree. We don't agree with the liberals. We don't agree with the things that are going on in this world today, and we're going to remain that way because we are fundamentalists. And Peter said, he said in verse number 5, for this they willing or ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word that is the word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not ignore this one thing, that one day is a thousand, as the Lord is a thousand years, and a thousand years has one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason why Jesus is not here today is because He has a heart for the lost. And He's long-suffering that any, not willing that any should perish. But the second stage of His coming, which we're not going to be a part of, except when we come with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon the world. And you and I are going to be part of that great army that's coming forward to execute judgment. Jude 1, of course, in verse number 14 and 15. Jude tells us that there was prophecy even back then, even before his time. It was 10,000 of his saints came into judgment to bring judgment upon this ungodly world. And I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? This ungodly world is not my home. Like the songwriter says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Are you ready for the Lord? The Scripture tells us that He shall come. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain shall be, and that the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together. I believe in the rapture, don't you? Are you looking forward to His coming? The rapture could take place at any minute. I hope that you all are ready. I believe everybody in here has a testimony that they're ready. Maybe some young folks maybe have not made that peace with the Lord. But I trust that every one of us will be ready to meet Him. I believe those that are under the age of accountability and they don't know about being saved, I believe they're going to be caught up with us, don't you? That little innocent child. Until that person comes to know the Lord Jesus and he knows and understands that he's lost, then he needs to be saved when he comes to that point. But he's safe until he comes to that day. But they can come to that day at 4 or 5 years of age. Don't misunderstand. If a person is raised in church and he is 4 or 5 years of age and he's been under the sound of the gospel, he may be lost without God. He needs our prayers and needs for you to pray for that little one to get saved before it's too late. I'd hate to know that I'd left some of my children home down here, wouldn't you? I'd hate to know that I left some of my grandchildren. I'm going to see some of my grandchildren this week. I love them all. They're all saved. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful for that. I have a little one that's not made a profession yet. Caitlin hadn't made a profession yet, has she? Well, she needs to be saved. You pray for me that little one gets saved. And I got a little bitty one, if not old enough to get around yet. But I'm praying for all of my children that they'll be saved. I want the circle not to be broken. Amen? Well, it's all to get together. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege You've given to us just to share a few thoughts about Your coming. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd take the words in which we've given that'll encourage and help us, Lord, to know and understand what the Scripture tells us about Your coming. I pray, dear Father, that each of us will keep our heart tuned to the coming of the blessed Lord. I pray that there's one here this evening that has come to the knowledge of their salvation, their need for salvation. I pray that this will be the day that they come and accept You and trust You as their Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, to bless and encourage all of us as we labor for You. I pray to bless these young people as they meet tonight. And as the folk meet and talk about Vacation Bible School, I pray that You'll help us all, dear Lord, to just have our hearts tuned on one thought, and that is to be able to win precious souls to Thee. Bless now and watch over us. Keep us in Your care. And bless this moment right now, and we'll praise You for it. And whatever You do, we'll glorify Your precious name. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. While we stand, please.
Let's take 270 words.